Okay, so hello there, Dan back here. I'm just gonna go through some things here. Kathy, you gonna read this?
You want me to read that?
I'm gonna have Kathy read something to you guys first, and then I'm gonna go on with what I have to do.
Okay. All right, so we wanted to start with just a little bit to help you understand where he's going with this. Okay. So, hello everybody. Before Dan presents what he wants to present, I just was led to make sure I explain to everybody how many times in the past we have explained to you that in the coming harvest, there's actually going to be three groups within the body of Christ. This is just a very general explanation, okay? The first is the first group of 144,000 of Revelation chapter 14. The second is the second group of 144,000 of Revelation chapter 7. And the third is the multitude too large to number. You all know that from Revelation chapter 7. And each of these groups, of course, by their faith, according to their faith, are all going to be protected by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay? However, the first group of 144,000, they're going to have their glorified bodies in the harvest. So obviously, the tribulation judgments aren't going to have any effect on them. The second group of the 144,000 are going to be perfected with a special anointing. So again, the judgments will not affect them, okay, as they will the multitude. However, that's where I'm going. The third group, the multitude too large to number, although there will be a measure of protection by their faith, by Jesus, of course, they will absolutely have to deal with the worst of God's judgments during the tribulation hours. And of course, this is because they did not prepare like they should have. They didn't believe that we were here. They thought they had plenty of time. Well, what's the Bible tell us? You better watch and be ready because he's going to come at a time that you're not aware. Okay? So, when Dan explains this, I want you to understand this is going to be for everybody who's going to have to deal with these tribulation judgments. And why? Because they have to be refined as silver is refined through the fire. That you can't go outside of time with Jesus without getting sanctified through the fire of refining. Okay? And we just wanted to explain that, and now I'll let Dan jump in and explain what the Lord had. Okay.
So Jesus refines us.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So, with that said, thank you, Kathy, for your explanation. I appreciate it. She left the room. Anyways, so I hear this a lot, guys. You preppers are crazy. What? I am. So now, if you're a person who's gathering water and food for at least 2 weeks, you're doing good, okay? I'm gonna tell you that. You're not crazy. But what if something happens that takes more than 2 weeks? It would be indeed life-changing, wouldn't it? Okay? So in this case, you should probably be crazy, all right, and be a prepper, okay? It's okay to do that. And I'm gonna show you why here in a minute. But those same people that say, "Oh, you preppers are crazy," would be at your door asking for the things you have to survive because they didn't have it. Or at someone else's door because they might feel a little awkward coming to you, right? So thinking about that, I was, contemplating that with the Lord. I was like, "Lord, if I was left behind, what could I leave to my brothers and sisters if I wasn't here though?" So I thought about this all day and I prayed about it, well, for a couple days now. And so I thought about Joseph and I thought, well, was Joseph in the Bible? Was he crazy for being a prepper? Wow, you preppers are crazy. You're calling Joseph a crazy man? I don't think so. Joseph prepared, right? But I want to take a look at that for a moment before I go on in Genesis 41. So if you got your Bibles, you could turn to that because I'm just going to use this as a. I didn't do a PowerPoint presentation because I didn't have time. I need to get this out there now because I don't know how much time we have left. I was hoping it was yesterday. I was hoping we were leaving last year. Anyways, we leave when the Lord tells us this time. So before going on to the scriptures, I'll be reading from Genesis 41. But I want to explain something which you can always and should always check out, that I'm telling you the truth, okay? I don't want you to believe me. I want you to believe what the Word of God says. That's the most important thing that any minister can teach you, is what the Word of God says, not what man says. Okay, what I say could be wrong, okay? But what the Word of God says is always right. It never comes back void, all right? So Joseph interprets the dream of the Pharaoh in Genesis 41. And when the Pharaoh sees how God works through Joseph, he puts him second in charge to himself and to the throne, giving him a signet ring off of his own hand. Wow. So anyways, let's take a look at that. So if you have your Bibles, Genesis 41, you could pause if you don't have your Bibles and go get this, because unless you're live stream. 46 through 57. Now Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph left Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout the land of Egypt. Now this was after he was given that power. Now during the 7 years of abundance, the land brought forth bountifully. During those 7 years, Joseph collected all the excess food in the land of Egypt and stored it in the cities. Now listen, I collected a little bit of food, and it wasn't from the land of Egypt, but basically, you know, I went to the Walmart store, collected a little bit of things, you know, and put it in my little place where I have it. So in case I absolutely have to need, or have used that at times when I was in need. So anyway, it was a very smart move. So going on in scripture, in every city he laid up the food from the fields around it. So Joseph stored up grain in such abundance, like the sand of the sea, that he stopped keeping track of it, for it was beyond measure. Imagine that. Beyond measure. They couldn't measure it anymore. Verse 50 says, before the years of famine arrived, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. And Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh, saying, God has made me forget all my hardship and all my father's household. And the second son he named Ephraim, saying, God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. So guys, he had all that stored up, you know, and he named his sons, and then the famine began, right? In verse 53 we read, when the 7 years of abundance in the land of Egypt came to an end, the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. And although there was famine in every country, there was food throughout the land of Egypt. When extreme hunger came to all the land of Egypt, and the people cried out to Pharaoh for food, he told all the Egyptians, go to Joseph and do whatever he tells you to do. When the famine had spread over all the land, Joseph opened up all the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians. For the famine was severe in the land of Egypt, and every nation came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain, because the famine was severe over all the earth. Now, such an event that would come about that would create a famine in all the earth, that would have to be something like that. But then I thought about some things, and I'm just going to bring them to your attention. But I want to make you think about this, okay? Because it's a reality that some, well, they try to escape it. They think you're going to escape it. You're not going to, okay? Unless you're with the Lord. But those who truly know the power of God know that he will take care of them, whether by meat, through ravens, or a creek of running water, such as in 1 Kings 17. And you can look at that if you take a pause go into that as I'm speaking about this. But when Elijah was told to hide by the brook of Cherith in verse 3, and the ravens fed him in verse 6. Wow. And when the brook dried up, he went to Zarephath, where a widow sustained him with food and water, as you will see in verse 9 in that same chapter. If you haven't read about that, good thing to read about. If you think that you're going to go, God is not a God of provision, you need to go to that chapter, okay, and believe on the Lord. We see in the rest of that chapter, if you will read it, that the Lord provided the widow and her son and Elijah all that was needed. And because the widow was willing to do that for Elijah, she was fed even after he left her. So that is amazing, all right? There will be those who will come to you just as Jesus said, though, and ask you for things, okay? He spoke of them in Matthew 21, verse 21 through 13, which talks about the parable of the 10 virgins. If you haven't read that, good to read it. Good to read the whole Bible. If you haven't read that, read it, okay? But before you read it, ask the Lord for discernment, because you want to know what he's teaching you through the Holy Spirit under the anointing. All things he'll teach you. So as with any other time you read the Bible, you should do that anyways. Always ask the Lord to help you to discern it. With that said, look, I'm not at all spreading fear, okay, in what I'm about to say. So while I speak what I do, I just want you to think about these scriptures. You start feeling fear, go back to these scriptures, you know, go back to that place. Make a place, you know, in the video right now on the timing, and go back to that time and watch these scriptures. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God doesn't give you a spirit of fear, does he? It's right there in the word. Psalm 34:4 says, "I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." He can deliver you, guys. If you have fear, he can deliver you of all your fears, but you got to seek him on it. Isaiah 41:13 says, "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and tells you, do not fear, I will help you." You see, the problem with a lot of people is they have fear because they don't have God. They think they have God, but they got religion. They got churchianity is what I call it. But you need God in your life so that you won't have fear. All right? Anyways, go back to these scriptures if you start feeling fear. So to begin, I want to start out with a what-if scenario. So what if an EMP or an electromagnetic pulse nuclear event happens? This attack happens over the United States. Or something causes a Carrington event. Now, if you don't know what a Carrington event is, it's a solar flare, okay? It hits the Earth and it causes the whole Earth to be without power. So this could happen, an X-class flare in the next day or so. Who knows? Because they're saying that the sun has turned to a place now where there could be X-class flares coming from it. And we do have three CMEs as of yesterday, coronal mass ejections, and one today of a minor solar flare. So anyways, it won't take long before people to start panicking when they realize that nothing's coming back online. Power outage. Look at them. They're looking out the window. They're like, what is going on? I wonder what they're looking at. Well, let me take you there. But remember, I'm not taking you there to bring you into fear. Many will know what I'm saying here, but once that starts, if people are fighting over a toaster at Christmas, trampling over others for Black Friday sales, I really don't want to think about what it would be like when people start running out of the essentials to live. Do you? Well, we're going to go there. Unless you're one of those people that lives on solar power, which I'm not sure if that will even work as the battery won't charge, or off the grid. If an attack like that happens, you probably won't even know it. So some might just try to turn their TV back on. It went off, you know, giving you a scenario. Others might try to restart their car they were just using to go to the market 34 miles away from home. Think about that. They're 34 miles away from home. Car won't start. There will be no power to go online to find out about what just happened. You will not be able to go onto social media or to find out what's happening in the news at all. And if it's still able to run, you better have enough gas for the generator if you have one. So I've really thought about these scenarios and I've compiled a list of things that would happen, and I want to note them. Again, this is not meant to bring fear, but a realization of how life would change for you and myself if I were there in the blink of an eye, just like that. Done. So let's start when it hits. I'll just say that when a big event happens, it'll happen no matter where you're at or what you're doing. And there's nothing you can do about it but face what's ahead of you. Now, question is, would you rather face that with God on your side or without him on your side? That is the question. The first thing most people will notice is computer's not turning on. Uh-oh. So, of course, there'll be no internet. And that's right. For some of you, your Facebook and TikTok will be useless. You can't go do no YouTube, and you can't do no search, and you can't do nothing. And you may have light if it's daylight, but then again, it may be nighttime when this happens. So sending an email to your loved ones will not be available. If you work from home, well, you're not going to be able to work, are you? So most will try to find out what's going on. But computer's not working. So let's talk about other things that won't work as well. So that you're not going to go to the TV because mainstream media will not be available for you to even know what has happened. Landlines, they're not going to work. So much for getting a hold of anyone by using your phone, because your phones would not work as landlines would be down. Radios, there would be no ability to use a radio because they will not work. So you would not be able to be informed of how long this would last. Not unless you have a ham radio, because whatever happened could have destroyed your batteries. All your batteries. Cell phones. Well, they're not going to work. Your cell phone will be useless. Unless you've been given a sat phone or satellite phone, in which that will work. But who do you know other than 50 senators to contact with it? And do you know the number for their sat phone? Think about that. The police. Uh-oh. Somebody's breaking into your house. You may live near a police station, which would be great except for one thing. They run by power as well. So they won't know what's going on either. People calling to get help, well, they won't be calling in, so the police will not be able to assist you. After a few hours, most of them will go to their own homes to make sure their families are secure. Think about this. The fire department. Something's on fire. You smell a fire. This goes the same with all fire officials and EMT that are on call at the time of an event like this. Fires will be hard to put out if no one can call the fire department to have them put it out. Oh, by the way, their fire truck might not work, so much for getting the water to you. So because more firemen will be home taking care of their families and securing their homes, you won't have anybody to help you put a fire out. Let alone, we'll talk about water later, hospitals. Now, this gets a little intense, okay, but I have to put this in there. Doctors will not be able to perform most surgeries due to the equipment not working. If the equipment quits while they're doing a surgery, that's not a good scenario. Sooner or later, they will be so very overworked that they too may give in to going home to take care of their own families. Now, I don't know that for sure, but it's just a scenario I have. Nurses, they're going to be the same, okay? Only those dedicated to helping others will remain. So without hospitals being able to function, many will perish. And some will say, but they're backup generators. Okay, but even those take gas or propane, and unless what is needed to run them is stored, and enough of it to be stored for a few days, the end result will be heartbreaking, okay? Those who are sick or in need of medical attention will not be able to get it. People on medicine will simply run out unless they eventually loot places that have it, and most of those places will be the first to get hit. That in itself will cause many to perish because some store owners will defend it. It's hard. It's harsh. But this is reality. Employment. Most people would be unable to do their jobs without electricity, and employment would eventually collapse. What else collapses if no one's working? Oh, the economy. All over the world. So getting back to the fireman. Well, he couldn't show up because cars, okay? Most cars will not run anymore if the circuit boards in them are fried. Besides that fact, even if you have a car that will run without electricity, gas stations would not be functioning. But let's say they have a generator. If you don't have cash, they might not give you the gas, which brings me to ATM machines. You go to the ATM so you can get cash. That's going to be shut down. So there would be no banking. And with that, your debit cards and credit cards are only good for scraping the ice off windshields. That's it, if it's winter. They're worthless. And so much for a taxi. as they too will not be available, which brings me to other modes of transportation. If you go to work by train, some people do by subway, or just to do your shopping, the trains are not going to be working, or buses. So much for that trip you may have planned by plane, because planes will not be running, guys. You're not going on that trip. Now it gets pretty intense here. But hold on, I got some good news at the end of my message here. Garbage man, the trash man, will not be there to pick up your garbage. So where will you put all that trash? I would hate to be anyone who is in on any other floor than ground level. Again, that stinks. Commerce would be brought to a standstill. So much for groceries. And remember, if you own a pet, they will eventually turn on you if you can't feed them. Now, I'm a pet lover. Most people know that. I don't have one, but I'm a pet lover. I have rabbits and deer out in the backyard, and I love them. But I would make sure to have extra food for them stored up, okay? Hint, hint. Heating. There will be no heat for your home in the winter unless you have a wood stove or some way to make a fire that wouldn't burn down wherever you're living. That will be really difficult if you're in an apartment building 17 stories up, or 39 stories, who knows. Those who have wood stoves will be spotted by those who don't. Just remember, they have left their home to come to yours. And they will want food and water just as you will to survive. Think about that scenario there. Air conditioning. It's summer. It's hot. 93 degrees out. It's just bad, man. You can barely stand it. Your air conditioner and fans, they just go off, and they're no longer going to work. Well, you better pray for some hard, cool winds to cool you down. That's if you're a praying man. Let me talk to you about at the end of this. If you live beside a stream of running water, that's a good thing for you, except that, well, you know, talk about that too. Toiletries. Calling the plumber probably won't be a big help. They'll probably not be able to get there because their truck won't run. They wouldn't be able to help you anyways because your toilet will not have running water. All right? If you own your own home, you may have to dig a hole in the backyard or build an outhouse. Won't go there. But I do have some other things to talk about. In the big cities, okay, apartments. I talked about that for just a tad, but I want to go a little further. So depending on what floor you live on in these huge buildings, you may have a slight problem because you will have to take the stairs due to the elevators not working anymore. For some, this could take valuable time when they need to do what they have to do, if you know what I'm saying, bathroom time. Even if you do not make it down the stairs, it may be difficult to find any place open as most places will be shut down. Others are going to be having the same problems. So they're going to be searching out these places. So back to the toiletries again, since we're talking about it. Showering without running water. Personal hygiene will be a big problem. And that really stinks, okay? Your electric shavers, hair dryers, whatever was operated by batteries will no longer work. Essentials with bathroom supplies will eventually run out. But I want you to take note of this. Remember that other people will have the same problems and may come to you to ask for help because they heard or overheard you saying that you have provisions. Who can you trust? If they tell others after you have helped them that you have provision, many more will come. Just think about that one. So what you have will go away really fast, and then you too will be in want. And then in need. People really don't think about these things. This is why I'm bringing it to light, okay? Being prepared is always a good thing. Joseph prepared. Guys, it's in the Bible. Prepping is in the Bible. Again, I am not trying to cause panic or fear, but I'm showing you that most people are not even ready for such an event. So let's go on. Oh, you thought it was over. No, there's more. So water, I was talking about that earlier, water. So unless you can pump your own water from a well or live near a water source close, water will be scarce and you need it to survive. We all know this. You need water to survive. Makes me thirsty. Hold on one second. Let me drink some maternal water. Oh boy, kitchen. Well, the dishwasher will not work. And without running water, how are you going to do your dishes? So unless you live by a creek or a river, in which others will be washing theirs too, upstream, you may want to boil that water first. The washroom, the washer and dryer, will not work, okay? Most will not even have the availability of running water to wash their laundry, unless, once again, they live by a creek or a river, in which, again, others will be washing theirs, possibly upstream. So, once again, you'd want to boil the water before washing. And hope that you have enough laundry soap, because if somebody spots that you have laundry soap, guess what they're going to ask you for? So, eventually, if this didn't happen at night, it'll get dark. So, lighting won't work. All right, eventually, unless you're stocked up, flashlight batteries will go dead. There are so many people who will not even have a simple candle. We try to tell people to have some candles available for a power outage. Even just a power outage for 3 days. It's good to have candles so you have light to see where you're going so you don't stumble on the dog that's barely able to, you know, get up because he's starving. Hopefully it's not that case with you. You got the extra food for the dog, right? Okay, anyways. Refrigeration. Actually, before I go on to that, it'll be hard to see in the dark, okay? So I'm going to bring this to your attention. Unless you bought night vision goggles, you know, to see in the dark, and I don't know many who can do that, and as far as night vision goggles, I don't know if they run by battery or not. Some of them do. You know, so if that battery's not working in the goggles, that's not going to work. So that $3,000 pair of binoculars you bought won't work. Possibly. Don't know. Just giving you a scenario. Now, refrigeration. I've had this happen before. Kathy knows what I'm talking about. So all refrigeration would shut down and frozen foods in your homes, supermarkets would eventually go bad. So unless you were prepared for this to happen, you wouldn't have the knowledge of what to do when this happens. Okay? Now it gets worse. Hold on to your hats, guys, if you're wearing them. Prisons. The gates will open, all of them escaping when this happens. Guards at prisons will just go home if they make it after those cell doors open. So all these prisoners are getting out of prison. Where do you think they're going to go? You know, where are they going to go? Think about that. Could come to your house. They found out you have provisions. Airports will not be able to operate. That trip that you had planned, you're not going, okay? And many will be stranded right where they are when it happens. Think about this. People from all over the country, everywhere, at an airport way over in some distant land, are not able to go back to meet with their family, their friends, co-workers, whatever. But that's just a heads-up warning, okay? But here's another heads-up warning. Planes will fall from the sky. I'm sorry about that scenario, but that's true. Because power will go out on that plane. Where they land, who knows? Hopefully you have a good pilot. Eventually, riots are going to happen everywhere. This might be 2 to 3 days a week, I don't know. Never been in that scenario. Don't want to be there. That's why I got my life right with Jesus. As well as looting will happen. So sooner or later, and looting already happening, you know, all over the place, by the way. People who are racist will come knocking on your door. Because they will know that no one will help you, as well as they will be wanting supplies too. When someone's desperate, they'll find ways to get to what they need. Now I want you to think about this. When someone's really desperate, they're going to find others who can go and help them to get what they want. So they'll form gangs. And these gangs of people will begin to steal, seeking out whatever they can get, and eventually try to take from people who may have items they're looking for that cannot defend themselves. And because there will be no police, not many will survive within the first 2 weeks. Now, it will, in my opinion, be worse than a zombie apocalypse. But it gets worse.
Can I jump in real quick?
Somebody on here, Beloved Warrior, says the dead would have to be buried the same day because refrigerators are off. They can't do anything with the bodies.
That's right. So the dead would have to be buried the same day. Thank you for adding that into this video. I appreciate that, brother.
Absolutely.
So here's another one. Nuclear sites. This is the biggest one I have, okay? Nuclear sites would melt down. Workers wouldn't work for free there, okay? Unless they're dedicated, like those doctors and those nurses, or EMT. But this, which would cause radioactive leaking everywhere, is not a good scenario because the winds will spread the radiation from reactor meltdowns everywhere. There's no hiding from it. And no matter how much you've prepped, how much gold you have, how much food you have, how much guns you have, etc., the end result, well, it wouldn't be good now, would it? How much worse can it get? Well, I'm going to take you there. Without God in your life, much worse. Thank God we haven't gotten there yet, and hoping we won't get there either. Now let me bring you back to reality, okay? This is not happening. You're at total peace. Everything as it's supposed to be. You have lights. You can continue to eat as you like while you're searching your Facebook or YouTube or TikTok right now. You can watch this video. I know you may think it bad that I jested while explaining the things that could happen, but that was just to keep you away from fear, okay? I don't want you to fear. Again, as I was saying before I started to tell you these things, it's not to spread fear to you, but for you to know this is a reality check. It's a reality check on what could happen one day. It never hurts anyone to just be prepared. Are you prepared? The one thing, though, that you need to prepare, the biggest thing that I could preach to you right now through this video to get it into your heart is God on your side. If you've not given your heart to Jesus so he can help you if that time were ever to arise, now's the time. Because without his help, well, you'll be able, without his help, you will be like a fly in a Venus flytrap and perish. If you don't know what a Venus flytrap is, by the way, do a search on that on YouTube while you still can. To see what it is. But I want to leave you with this. The only true power, and this is a power outage that will never happen, any of us has, is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Amen.
Without him, all you have is death.
Amen.
1 Peter 5:11 says, "For all power belongs to God, now and forever. Amen." So if the power goes out and you do not have the Lord, you're refusing right there his provision for you. You're not prepared. You have not been watching. You're not prepared. And what will come upon you? Well, I just gave you the scenarios. Now it's your choice what you do. Right now it's your choice. Because what comes next for you will only be death if you don't have Jesus Christ in your life. So if you want to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now's the time. Don't hesitate, okay? If his spirit is drawing you, and only certain people will his spirit draw, then you better come to him today. Jesus is the only way. He's the truth and the life. There is no other way to get to life. The only other way, if you reject him today, is death. And if that's what you chose, that's not what God chose. So I don't want to hear these people out there are always telling me, oh, yeah, God's killing people all the time. No, God doesn't kill anybody. They kill themselves. God doesn't want that anyone should perish, but that all come to repentance. Remember, the scenario that I just gave you during this video has not happened. But who's to say what will happen tomorrow? Tomorrow is not promised. Today is the day that you should turn your heart to God. I'm going to end with that. I hope that you will go back over this video, go over the scenarios, and do what you can to prepare, but mainly make sure that your heart is right with God. Jesus is coming.